Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and my guest today is, I'm going to probably say your name wrong, but it's Tony Whatley. Is that the best way to say it?
Man, that's the only way to say it.
Is it? Okay, good. I wasn't sure if it was Whatley or something.
Well, I'll tell you a story of that. It's a Whatley, spelled W-H-A-T-L-E-Y, is actually a farming community about an hour west of London, England. And so everybody that's named Whatley, Whatley, Whitley, Wootley, all these variations all came from that area.
Oh, wow. Okay, there you go. And you've traced that back. So Thank you for joining me on the Automate and Grow podcast. Tony is the author of, one book in particular, which is Side Hustle, right?
Side Hustle Millionaire.
I can't forget the millionaire part. And then you have a program called Driven 365, amongst a couple other businesses that are really interesting.
Yeah, so 365 Driven is an entrepreneurship community. It's a very supporting network and coaching practice that I have.
Amazing. So you're based in Houston, Texas?
Correct.
Are you originally from Texas?
I was born in Japan. I'm half Japanese. My mom is from Japan, and my dad was in the U.S. Marines. He was stationed there in the Vietnam War. And I was actually born in Japan and moved to, California for 1 year when I was a baby, and then Houston since I've been 2 years old. So, yes, I guess I'm a native Houstonian is what we call us.
Oh, that's amazing. That's quite the journey from Japan to Houston.
Yeah, it was a long swim, but, you know, I was working out pretty hard as a kid.
Yeah, that's the sub-1-year-olds tend to swim really well. So, what do you? I know we were introduced by a common person, which was Matt Berge, and it sounds like he's been participating in an online group of yours around 365 Driven. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do with 365 Driven, and then maybe we can talk also about your book and how that plays into it.
So, I would say that. For the backstory, I worked 25 years in the corporate oil and gas. I'm a mechanical engineer, degreed engineer. I paid for college myself, worked in there, made it to mid-level management in the Fortune 10 company. So I was working for the major operator oil companies, you know, Chevron, Exxon, Shell type brands, and multiple six-figure salaries. But along the way, I actually always started businesses. I'm a car freak. I'm a car fanatic. I love performance cars and muscle cars. So I was employed in the oil industry, but I always wanted to be involved in the automotive industry as well. So I created businesses within that. And one of those grew to an online membership-based community based around performance cars, about 160,000 registered members when I sold it. And that was a multiple seven-figure exit plan. Okay. So that came out of the basis of Side Hustle Millionaire. It was basically a business that I literally earned millions from, working about less than an hour a day on that. So
wow.
the book I wrote, Side Hustle Millionaire, it's not a fictional title. It's not meant to be catchy. It's about the mindset and the strategies I use to build not only that business, but other ones after that. So there's a lot to do with the mindset. The first two chapters are mindset. And I said, for your listeners, if they go to my website, they'll actually get to be able to have those two free chapters about mindset. They just register and do a download. So it's pretty simple. But I really wanted to take that book and teach people how to start their first company. That was the whole basis of the book, because I've always been asked, for the last 15, 20 years, like, how do you do this? And I always help my friends. I help my inner circle, but I was busy running companies and running my career. And I started to see the good results. I've helped people build six-figure, seven-figure, and eight-figure companies, friends of mine, based on the things and advice I was giving them, the strategies I was giving them. And they're like, dude, you need to write a book. You need to like do a coach. You need to just say, hey, I'm too busy for that. I got these other things going on. And much as I like to do that, it's like, well, let me think about how I can share that message. How can I share that story? Let me write this book. It's a book that was in my head for probably 5-10 years, to be honest. And I just kept procrastinating it because I was too busy to do other things. And I decided I'm going to write this book to take your ideas for your business, how to evaluate those against your financial or your time goals, because there's different goals for everybody, and understand which of these business ideas is going to give you the best potential to get there. And throughout the course of the book, I talk about branding and marketing and business structures and funding and even exit plans, because I always think you need to start a company with exit plans in mind and understand, is this something that you can walk away from? Because let's face it, our priorities change over the years.
True.
Five years from now, you may want to be on that first trip to Mars. You know, I mean, you just never know. So you got to build businesses. Yeah, you got to build businesses with an exit in mind, because, hey, you might die as well. That happens to all of us, right?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I mean, you've basically taken your whole methodology and you've memorialized it in a book and then a program, it sounds like, as well.
Yeah, 365 Driven is a online Facebook group right now. It's about 2,700 people at the time of this recording. And it's just business owners helping and collaborating and helping. It's not a place to self-promo. We don't allow self-promo. I do that maybe once a month. I'll let someone have like an open promo thread. But other than that, it's people asking genuine business questions or strategies or needing advice or, hey, have you used this software? So it's a collaborative network of everybody that's in there. It's a growth mindset, real positive type personality people who are willing to help other people, even dire competitors. There's competitors in there in the open arena who help each other behind closed doors because they're growth-minded people. And that's incredible to witness. But it just shows you the testament of true entrepreneurs is we understand that there is plenty of money. There's plenty of success out there. We don't have to like beat other people down to make ourselves look better.
Yeah, I think there's obviously there's competition in the market, but I think we kind of get too hung up on that sometimes instead of, you know, understanding that you can. I think of Peter Thiel. Have you read Peter Thiel's book, right? Zero to One. And he talks about having your own monopoly, but it's not like the traditional monopoly, right? It's your own distinctive thing. But then you obviously have to have like kind of your own little collaborative group of people that support each other, which, I mean, he's part of that PayPal mafia, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important nowadays that most people need to look beyond their zip code for their inner circle. A lot of times, especially entrepreneurs, I lived through this before social media came around. Honestly, I didn't have any friends that were business owners, like teaching me things or sharing ideas. You start talking about business and people's eyes glaze over. And there's two things I can talk about all day. It's cars and business. Like I love talking about business and how to make money and how to scale things and how to create things. And I have a lot of passion behind these things. So when you start talking about that to ordinary people who just want to check in at a clock and, you know, 8 hours a day at some salary or corporate job, they just don't really have interest in hearing that. So look for those people that vibe with you online. Find those Facebook groups. Find those communities. Listen to these kind of podcasts and get some information from these people that are teaching. I mean, there's so much information out there, Michael. We're giving all this kind of stuff for free. And if you're smart enough, you'll be able to learn how to do things, apply things to your own business. And it's incredible. I wish I would have had this kind of opportunities 20 years ago when I first started my first companies.
I was watching, I don't know if you ever watch any of Gary Vaynerchuk's content. He's got a ton of it, obviously. Like
three times a day. Yeah. He's out there.
He's definitely out there. Might be more. But the one that was interesting was he was doing a traditional talk show, and I guess he knew the host. And the talk show host's premise was that we've regressed in the last 10 years and that social media is killing us. Whereas his hypothesis is the opposite, right? Which is, well, the average teenager, one person was saying, well, they bring the bullying home and they have less friends and there's no communication. And Gary Vaynerchuk brought up the point, well, the average, you know, teenage girl says they have 4.1 friends now versus 1.1 10 years ago, right? So it's kind of perspective, right? And how you use the tool set. And I think it's like advanced us, like it's given us this ability, to your point, to build these crazy networks. Like when we would have needed a TV station to do this probably 10 years ago, right? Maybe absolutely, maybe 15, but
maybe. No, actually, you know, when it comes to live videos, it's only 5 years
ago. It's really only, yeah, it's not that long, right?
No, Facebook's only been around since 2008, so that's not even, you know, it's 11 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's amazing how things have changed. So how has your program impacted people? Like, what sort of people do you work with, and what are some of the, you know, the people that have had positive results out of it?
Well, I work with a full range of entrepreneurs. I help people start their first company. I help people with 6-7 figure companies that want to scale to 8 figures. I've also got some people who are looking to sell their company because I've got that experience. Because, I mean, you may not realize, but only 1% of companies ever get sold. And it's not because 99% aren't, you know, for sale. It's because 99% of companies aren't worth anything to a buyer. That's the honest truth.
Right.
So most people just end up going out of business rather than selling. And most people wait too long to discover that their company's not worth anything, and they could have got ahead of that 3 to 5 years before their exit and started to have some intent focus on creating the valuation of the company in order to sell it. But most people just don't think about that thing. They just use it as a job. They use it as an employment. They kind of go through the motions, and then they think about selling it, and they realize that it's not worth anything because they did the wrong business model, the wrong strategy, no processes, no systems, no unique branding. There's a lot of variables that go into a company. So I've been fortunate enough to have sold a company and started several companies and helped other people start companies. So I kind of run the gamut of people of where are you at? And the coaching I use is actually very specific and tailored to where they're at and where they want to be. So I can kind of really see the long-term effects of companies and start to help people deconstruct those goals and work backwards. Honestly, I think that's also a testament of my engineering background is I've always been able to look at entire systems and be able to dissect each and every process and understand how they all function together and what's going to impact this other thing later down the road and really just understand why things work. So I kind of have gotten that mindset of here's the goal. Here's how we deconstruct that goal to these bite-sized pieces that we can accomplish. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get anxious. Let's just focus on this very next step. That's how I kind of walk people through that process. And honestly, the group has been really well. And even in 2018, I kind of launched the group. I was experimenting, doing things, and helping people with my processes, writing what I was doing. And I helped 18 people in my online group start their first company. And I didn't charge them a cent the first year. That's amazing. Yeah.
So I find that type of work, you know, it's like I've been working with other people like where I'm an advisor in companies. And I find it really rewarding. And it's kind of, you get to go through the excitement of a startup, but sometimes it can be a real painful grind, as you know. Mm-hmm. And to your point, how do you get someone to look beyond the current pain in front of them and the roadblock, you know, without quitting? Or how do you help them first evaluate should they keep going or not? Because sometimes that's a question, right?
Yeah, that's one of the questions I always get asked is, what is the right business for me, or what business should I start? And I'll tell you that the intersection of these three things is what is going to lead you to the most success. You got to look at the intersection of your passion, your purpose, and your expertise. Those three things. Write those down if you got a pen and paper. Passion, purpose, expertise, and I'm going to explain the difference between those three. Passion is what you're interested in. What are your hobbies? And the best way to ask yourself that is if you were to walk into a magazine stand and you got hundreds of magazines shining at you, and which one of those magazines are you going to pick up and read cover to cover before you even make it to the checkout lane? That's going to tell you probably have some passion in that subject, right? Or you're reading a certain type of book and you want to learn different things. Like you start having these passion things. And what's important with passion is that it's never going to feel like really hard work when you're operating within your passion. So if I'm teaching people to how to start businesses, or I'm doing things with automotives, like I can do those, like I can get up and I'm excited about that. I'm like, hey, I look forward to doing this. So when you operate in your passions, you're going to have a lot less stress, a lot less anxiety, because you feel like, hey, I kind of already know a lot of this stuff. And that kind of leads to the expertise. Expertise is the knowledge, the skills, the resources that you currently have available. So if you have a special knowledge, special skill, special talent, and there may be some of you listening that go, hey, you know, I'm not experienced enough to be a teacher. I'm not experienced enough to be a coach. I'm not experienced enough to write a book. That's a bunch of BS. That's a self-limiting belief, because there are literally thousands of people, maybe millions of people out there who are not at the level that you're currently at. So even if you're 25 and you've mastered something, chances are there's thousands of people who have not even got to your level. So you can still teach people. Remember, you can always teach people to get them to your level, and honestly, a little bit above your level, because let's be honest, we all know a little bit more knowledge than we fully have executed yet, but we know what we need to be doing. So don't be afraid to step out there and write that book, do the podcast, teach people things that you know to get them to that level. Now, the fourth one would be the purpose. Purpose is huge. Purpose is the most important thing that you have to have for any kind of startup or any business, and purpose to me is not money. A lot of people start a company because they want, hey, I want money. They see the book, Side Hustle Millionaire. I want to be a millionaire.
Right.
That's a really weak purpose. Telling you, if your sole purpose, if you're not an angel investor, if you're not an angel investor, because they're there for the money. Let's be honest. That's all they're really into it. So if you are building a business and your purpose is not strong enough, you will quit when it gets harder. You will quit. It's just inevitable. Most businesses fail because the purpose is not strong enough. They're really thinking about money. Think of money as a result. Money is like the scoreboard. Money is like the result of the good value that you create to this world, the services, the quality, the products that you're producing for this world. Money is just a result. If you make it your goal, it's a really weak goal, and it's going to make you quit later on when things get tough.
It's very easy to get, you know, tracked into the money game. And I mean, I'm as guilty of it as anyone else, where if, you know, if there's not money coming in, you're thinking, I got to get money. But so that can actually like be a downward spiral, I think. That's what I've noticed. And, you know, it's tough if you're not talking to someone that can, you know, kind of clue you in, or you have to pull yourself out of that mindset, because I find myself where I, when I focus on the money, it does the opposite of what I need.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of people use that as an excuse not to start a company too. Hey, Tony, I don't have money. So the reason I actually wrote this in my book, the answer to that is that not having money is not your problem. Not doing what it takes to get more money is your problem. So I got, you got people that just basically, you know, I worked three jobs to be able to fund the first company I had. It kind of put it in perspective. So the problem was not lack of money. It was, I had to get off my ass to go make money, to do something, swallow my pride. I was a waiter. I was an engineer that would wait tables in the evening, make a couple extra $100. And then the weekends I would go work in a performance car shop and like sell parts and install stuff. So I was just hustling nonstop. And I said, you know what, I'm going to start a company to, so that I don't have to keep trading my hours for dollars, because that's the employee mindset. Is most people out there, hate that we grow up that way, but they think, hey, you want to make more money, go work extra hours, go pick up extra shifts, go get that overtime, go get a part-time job. We're always trying to trade our hours for dollars. Right. But when the online businesses nowadays, time is not a factor if you build the right business model. You and I are on this podcast right now. I'll be making hundreds of dollars in the background, and I'm not having to show up. I'm not having to clock in. I'm not having to do any actions. I can go to sleep and still be making money. I wake up, there's thousands of dollars in sales that happened. Understand that there's no time factor with money if you build the right business model.
So to that point, like what's the key then to creating that model where it's not dependent upon your time?
It's really getting with somebody that's got that mindset and the right experience. I mean, there's books, there's podcasts, learn these things. Go listen to 4-Hour Workweek from Tim Ferriss, very popular book. I think it's 10 years old now. And the funny thing is I'd already sold a company before that happened. And everything I read in that book was like, damn right, son, damn right, damn right. And I couldn't find anything to disagree with. And I know that book's full of automation, so that's perfect for your show.
Exactly.
You know, it's basically like the Holy Grail Bible of automation. And here's the funny thing. You're going to laugh about this as well, because most people read that title from the employee mindset and they go, oh, look at this crap. Like, nobody works 4 hours a week. That's a bunch of crap. I'm not even going to bother reading that book. So they just dismiss it.
I like how your voice changed upon that inner.
Yeah, but they don't even know the perspective of the book. They see it at the face value of the title. There's some guy laying in a hammock, I think, with palm trees or something. And, you know, 4-hour work week. And anybody that's got the employee fixed mindset is going to read that title and go, oh, what a bunch of crap. Like, this is all a bunch of scams. And then you read it and you realize it's about disconnecting time from your dollars. It really is. I mean, Tim Ferriss does a really good job of explaining systems and processes and automations and understanding that, no, you don't have to show up. This can all happen in the background. It's going to take some work to set up. I'm going to tell you, Michael and I will tell you, like any startup, guaranteed that first 1 to 2 years is going to put some hours. You're going to be putting some hours in. You're going to be putting more hours in than money. 1 to 2 years minimum. So if you can't commit to that, to have the freedom on the backside, then you really weren't cut out to have a business in the first place. And honestly, you don't deserve anything in life. You get what you put in, you get what you earn. And most people are always looking for the easy way out. And there's a lot of people maybe listening to this and come across this podcast a year from now and they're like, hey, I'm going to get rich quick thing. Like, what's the easiest way to make money? And I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, there is no easy way to make money, but there is actually really easy ways to make freedom and time on the back end. So put in the hard work, get the results later.
Well, I think part of, you know, the issue that we have obviously is that we're in this, I harp on the education systems not built for the economy we actually have and the freedom we're given, the freedom to choose and do, right? Like we're teaching our kids really to think like 200 years ago, right? It's kind of
bad. The entire public school system, and honestly even some of the private school systems, they're basically conditioned young adults to become employees.
It's brutal.
They tell you, hey, it's a race to six-figure salary. They lead you to believe that if you can make six figures that you're going to be successful. And I'll tell you that it's not true. Mm-hmm. Honestly, 100,000 is not much difference than a lifestyle of 50,000 a year. So don't think that you're going to make 100,000 and feel like your success popping bottles, flying on a jet. It's just even $1 million. Let's face it. I've made millions of dollars. $1 million in the bank. You are definitely not flying jets and rolling around in a Rolls Royce. It's like, you know, that's a house in California cost $1 million, like a shack in some areas. There you go. So understand, like, if you want that kind of lifestyle, you're really going to need about $10 million. $10 million in the bank, minimum. That's kind of the perspective you need to understand. So get rid of these self-limiting beliefs. Get rid of this things that we learn in the public school system about being employees, like doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like, these are great things to have if that's what you want to have at a corporate level. There's certain professions that do pay higher. STEM degree, science, technology, engineering, math, always pay higher.
Sure.
Don't waste $100,000 getting a liberal arts degree that's going to put you in six-figure debt for the next 20 years of your life while you're making like $40,000 and having to pick up waiter shifts to make your bills. It's a terrible investment. You know what? Take that $100,000, go hire a mentor, go hire an entrepreneur mentor, learn how to start your company, and invest some of that money in that. I guarantee you can. Here's your two choices. Corporate world, you can go 25 years in a corporate world and hope to make $200,000 on some executive level at a small company, or you can start a company and probably make that in 2 to 3 years if you do it right.
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, the payoff, to your point, is very different. I think the problem for people is they think that entrepreneurs are born. And really, I think it's just a matter of, we can educate people how to start businesses. Like, anybody can set up a company. Anybody can understand the structure and the resources you need to make a company go. But we've created voodoo. And I say we, like, I haven't, but I think the majority of society have voodoo about it. Like, that's impossible. They did something bad to do it, or they're just born that way. They're lucky. They inherited it. There's all these stories around why every person can't just do this. And there's really no limitation in my mind of how many companies can be started and how many people can start a company. Like,
all these self-limiting beliefs, man, the naysayer in your head is what keeps people from. People have the fear of unknown. But here, start thinking about, what if I win? What if the thing I start actually takes off? What would my life look like? What? Start comparing the upside versus the downside. So here's the downside. I start a company. Maybe I lose a couple thousand dollars, doesn't work out. What's the downside? Oh, I got to get a job. Well, if you're listening to this and you have a job right now, guess what? You are living that downside every single day.
Yeah, if 5 days your downside, a week. Then
for so sure. you're already at the downside. So you can always go back and get another job. So understand that the upside, let's say the company does well, you make a fortune, you get a freedom of time back. You could just do whatever you want. You could travel the world, make thousands of dollars every single day, not have to show up anywhere. It's just, understand the upside is way better and start to try to pursue that. So I believe with you, Mike, like, anybody can be an entrepreneur as long as they learn. You got to get past the fear of unknown, you know? And how do you do that? Get educated, get some lessons, find a coach, find a mentor.
Yeah, I like that approach. I mean, I think we all need to be reminded of it too, because I think it's easy to fall back, even when you run into habits, or you run into, to your point, the mindset where you realize you have to break out of something that's not really what you believe. You just fall back on things especially when you're in those tough situations. You're like, oh, I just wish it was easier, or I wish I had the reward. And I think that was kind of my other point around education, was that, well, there's risk, but there's reward, right? And part of the reward is not necessarily always monetary. We definitely want that. Like, that's the point of being in business. But there's also that freedom and working on things that we care about. And so I think that's the thing that we have to educate people on a lot younger age, right? We got to teach them, like, hey, there's a, you know, anybody can build a building. Anybody can start a company. Anybody can create a product. And that can be you. What are you interested in? And I think that's the sort of conversations we have to have with people at a much younger age. I don't care if you're 8, 9, 10, like.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about how we're conditioning people to do things we did 200 years ago. That's exactly, I mean, even not that far back, like 1940s, 1950s, back when people had pensions and retirement plans, and you literally worked at the same company 20, 30 years. That was very common. Like, that was very common back until the 1970s, honestly. And here, it's not the same anymore, guys. There's no such thing as job security. I've worked for companies that did not have layoff for 20 years until I ended up there. So understand that job security is a fallacy. Mm-hmm. It's actually just as risky as entrepreneurship. Worse. Yeah, I think it's worse. I agree with that, because I think with your business, if it's not doing well, it's in your decision and your skill set to be able to correct things and make things happen. Whereas an employee, It's just a matter of your boss waking up one day, going to the office, and they go, "Hey, Michael, you got to lay off 6 people on your team today." And you're like, "Shit." It's like, so it's someone else's decision. It's not your own.
So there's the platform, for example, Upwork, and they've done a, you know, they've blown up into this, and maybe not everybody knows what that is, but where you can basically put your skills up and you can respond to RFP type requests for, you know, whether it's like technical, creative, sales and marketing talent. And they did a study, and I think they said by 2030 or 2035, that the number of freelancers in the economy would exceed the number of employees. So the trend is significant and it's accelerating, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's really expensive to employ people and it's risky. And then there's this automation thing that people are afraid of. But the beauty of automation, I think, is that you can be, even if you just want to be a freelancer, there are tools now that are so inexpensive that it would have taken you millions of dollars and, you know, years of your life to build. But now you can just buy a little sliver of everything from whether it's accounting software, project management software, email marketing. Even think of, like, you know, people complain about Amazon eating retail, but anybody can be an Amazon seller, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are actually very enabling platforms. And then you think of, like, okay, yes, Facebook is a social network, but there's also this ad platform to drive traffic to whatever idea you have. And same thing with Google, right? Like, you can buy attention. And, like, that stuff just didn't exist before. And it's really relatively inexpensive. And I think that's what I hope people start understanding, that anybody can jump onto these things and build something that in the past was not possible in the 1940s. Like, not, you know, now we're like, so it's just at our tips, you know, like, you have this pot of gold there if you want, and now it's just your imagination.
Like, let me give an example so people can actually have something tangible. I'll share one of the businesses that I own, high-end custom wheels for cars, dropship company. I don't have to carry any inventory. It's cash positive. People pay me in advance for the product. It gets manufactured. It gets sent by the manufacturer to the customer. Process is usually 6 to 8 weeks. I'm paid. My average ticket is about $4,000 per sale.
Wow.
And understand this, it's all online. And so this company literally brings in about $800,000 in revenue per year, and it takes me 15 minutes a day.
Wow.
So understand that you can create these online businesses that create crazy amount of money and very little time.
And that's where you get the leverage out of the technology. So yes, people are afraid of automation and people are afraid of losing their gig, but you can use those same tools like anybody can. And you're an example of that. Like, I mean, there's a very modern business with, I mean, a product that you probably love that mm-hmm. you're like passionate and interested in. And have some expertise, because I know you've got another startup that's in the same space, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so it goes right back to the passion. If it's something that you love and you have a lot of passion, here's the thing, don't sell things that you don't have passion for, because you're going to get passed up by people who do have passion for that project or that product. There's too many people out there thinking, like, you know, get rich quick. I want to sell. There's a lot of people jumping into real estate. There's a lot of people jumping into car sales, things like this, things that they don't have any interest in because they think, hey, it's a high ticket item and I'm going to make all this commission. But you know what? If you don't have the passion, your customers can tell that energy. Like, you hear me speaking about business and hopefully you hear the energy that I love business and cars on this microphone, because that is the key to success, is understanding that I will not promote something I will not buy or use myself. And people can sense that. We have great innate senses of people's energy and their passion around subjects. So I will actually buy things from people that I probably didn't really want because they're very passionate about selling it.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
It's an emotional thing.
I referenced that book, you know, Simon Sinek and his,
yes,
you know, Start With Why. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes people relatable, right? Is that this is what I do and this is how I do it that's unique, but this is the story of what motivated me to solve this big problem in the world. And I think that's what, you know, people relate to, and you don't have to spend millions and millions of dollars to build that brand and story, where you can, if you tell that like in a very vulnerable way, that can kind of frame your purpose of your product or your company, and people will relate to that. Like, I can tell that you love that. If I'm going to get custom wheels I'm going to go to Tony, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely, so that book, Start With Why, is the purpose component of those three that I mentioned earlier. It's understanding why you do this. For me, my purpose is to positively impact the generational legacy of millions of people. And the best way I can serve this world is by teaching people the story that I have, the lessons I have, and help them with their confidence and their business. So I'm going to impact millions of people. Thousands of people already bought my book. If I impact their lives, that's going to impact their children's lives. It's going to impact their grandchildren's lives. So it's a generational legacy play. My book will outlast me. Once you write a book, once you create these podcasts that become evergreen, once you create YouTube channel videos, as long as those platforms exist, your word will become your legacy. The things that you leave behind, the traces, the footprints that you create will become your legacy.
I love it. And I love how that, you know, that mission I totally resonate with. So I love to talk about this. And unfortunately, I feel like I'm chewing up some of your time, but I want to be conscious of your time, Tony, but I could keep talking all day about this. I want to ask you a couple quick things. I'm just going to share my screen here. Let's see if it can come up. I want to ask you about this photo on your Instagram. Under the 365 driven, and it's hashtag power couple outslaying dragons and shit. Tell me what this is, because I think I know what this is, but maybe you can tell.
So we were in St. Louis this past weekend attending the Arte Syndicate Live. That's the large convention that Andy Frazella and Ed Milet created, Arte Syndicate. And it was in St. Louis, and we were there an extra day. And there was Comic-Con at the convention center, literally across the street from the hotel we were at. And we're like, you know what? This would be a great opportunity to go get some, you know, have some funny photos. And I actually did a live video on my Facebook feed. And I actually walked around for like 20 minutes just interviewing everybody in costumes, you know, and just really bringing a lot of energy and just having fun with it. So, yeah, that's me and my wife right there posing in front of two dragons with me chugging a giant mug of mead with my battle axe just because I can.
I love it. And that's from How to Train Your Dragon, right?
I think so. I think it is. It was a booth there. I think we paid like $10 to like pose with the dragons, and it was fun, man. It's just always fun. Good opportunities, good memories.
Yeah. I got to see that new one. There's a new movie of that. So the dragon definitely reminds me of my cat, which seems weird, but if you meet my cat, you'll know. All right. So listen, I want to be conscious of your time and thank you for sharing that. That looks like it was a fun time. I'm going to wrap up with two things. One is, and I think you've already probably answered this, but how are you, Tony, changing the world?
Really what I've come to discover from coaching people on their businesses is I'm really a confidence coach. I find a lot of people know what they need to do. We're all highly intelligent people. We read books, we do podcasts, things like this. But you know what? It kind of goes back to them not having that support group, not having that inner circle. So a lot of times they just need the validation and the approval for some of the things that they know they should be doing. And what I really help people with is get over the overwhelm, because a lot of times when you're starting a company, if you look at the huge pile of tasks and all these things you got to do, it's like, holy crap, where do I start? It's just this big pile. And when you get with somebody that's got experience doing those kind of things, it's a lot easier to say, hey, this is the process. This is where we start. Like, don't worry about other stuff. It's coming. Like, this is what you need to do. This. You start to string them together. Soon enough, you look back and you got a company. You're like, oh, wow, that wasn't so bad. So understand that it's important to have those coaches. I have coaches and mentors myself. So I don't believe that, you know, you're not going to hire me. I invest in that myself. So understand that there's also a distinct difference between coaches and mentors. And I think that's something worth sharing. Because a lot of people kind of merge those two words together. A coach, a business coach, is typically somebody that's gone through some kind of a training program in order to ask key questions. They're asking deeper level questions, hoping that you arrive at the answer yourself. And that's what coaching generally is. What a mentor is somebody who's actually done the shit that you want to do. You hire a mentor because they've accomplished things that you want to do. You hire a mentor to open up their networks to help you get your business going a little quicker. So they're actually at, you know, not only doing the coaching questions, but they're giving you advice based on their own experience. So to me, there is a distinct difference. Understand what you need. Sometimes you need a coach. Sometimes you need a mentor. And if you do find one, it's always going to be a personality fit. You want to make sure that you gain it has to be a mutual respect. You want to find somebody that you don't want to let down. If you're working with a coach, you want to have a high level of respect for them. You don't want to let them down. That's going to help you keep you accountable as well.
Sounds amazing. I'm going to wrap up with one final thing, which is when we have interesting people on the podcast, we'd like you to nominate other interesting people to be a guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. So who would you, Tony, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Automate and Grow. Let me see for entrepreneurship. Man, you're putting me on the spot because I'm a podcast host myself. So it's like picking my favorite child. It's, you know, that's tough, man. But let me think here. You know what? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to look at my podcast page and I'm going to see which name pops up first for my idea for your show.
Yeah, we usually speak with entrepreneurs or experts, as you know, and we talk about their journey, how they're changing the world, and how they're impacting through their work. Or sometimes it's just technical. Like sometimes people are just really passionate or interested and have expertise in a technical area or...
Yeah, somebody that's done pretty well, I think would be an amazing guest on your show would be Aaron Singerman.
Okay.
And he is the CEO of Redcon One, the fastest growing sports supplement company. And I've had Andy Frazella on my show as well. They're both kind of in the same business model. But I would say Aaron has done pretty well with the automations, especially when it comes to Facebook advertising and things like that. So got an incredible backstory. He's about to be into the 100 million range for his company.
Wow. Okay.
And so he's basically just that's an amazing. Open book. Great backstory. You talk maybe about some automation, teach your guests about how to scale their company that fast. Because I think it's only been like 3 years, to be honest.
Damn. Okay. I need to meet myself.
Yeah.
I keep undershooting. You hear that? That's crazy.
Think big, man. I think big all the time.
That's definitely, that's the range I got to start thinking of. Yeah. Right. So Aaron Singerman, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been nominated to be a featured guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. We will take that introduction. Thank you, Tony, so much for joining me. I could keep talking for hours. This could be a 3-hour one if we really wanted to, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Good. Enjoyed being on the show, Michael. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and we will see you on a future episode, hopefully with Aaron.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business.